The cheese is cold. So, old cheese, Shaq. And the chips are stale.
Come on, man.
And the thing is, you know, some place to get you good nachos, they put jalapenos. The sun be putting pickles on it.
Oh, come on, like, guys.
How about the parking over there, Chuck?
It's plenty of parking.
Welcome to Cold Pickle Nachos, the Phoenix Suns podcast that never doubted Brian Gregory for a second. I'm Logan Mosier, and I'll be talking about wingspans for pretty much this entire episode. With me, as always, is the incomparable Ryan Walker, a man who insists Joe Klein was the greatest Phoenix Suns center of all time.
Greatest center until now.
Let's go. So much happened in the past 3 days. The Suns cashed in all their KD trade chips, drafted 3 players, signed a two-way, and brought in a new starting center. Here's the Cold Pickle Nachos starting five with, you're not going to believe this, Ryan, 5 reasons we're finally feeling optimistic about this Suns team.
Let's go.
Let's do this thing. Number one, a no-brainer prospect fell to the 10th pick. All the Suns had to do was not overthink it. And the Suns did not overthink it. Time will tell if Kaman Maluach was the right pick, but in our humble opinion, he was the obvious pick in the moment, and the Suns finally didn't blow the layup.
Number two, Brian Gregory was not afraid to make moves to get what he wanted. In 2 days, he turned 5 second-rounders he got from the KD trade into the top pick of the second round and moved up from 52 to 41. He saw what he wanted, and he made it happen. Apologies, Brian. We weren't familiar with your game.
Number three, say what you want about doubling or quadrupling down on centers, but the Suns added not one but 2 athletic, talented giants, and that is always a good thing in basketball. Mark Williams is injury prone, but he's also a 7-foot-tall, impossibly long 23-year-old center who put up 15 and 10 last year. And you gave up a fraction of what the dumb Lakers were going to in order to land him last year.
Exactly. Number four, that trade we didn't like 2 days ago looks a lot better now. Young Dikembe, which is what I've heard his nickname is going to be, and Fleming add some real upside to the return and give more reasons for real hope. And really, that's all we could reasonably ask for.
Number five, after years of moves we generally have not liked, the Suns made multiple transactions we approve of the last 2 days. Maluach was the dream at 10. Fleming was the perfect target with our second pick. And we have always been high on Mark Williams. That certainly doesn't guarantee the moves will work out. But boy, is it nice to finally feel like they should. You want to just jump in right here and talk about each of the moves? Because there's a lot to go over.
Let's do it.
All right. First, let's start with our boy who you have crowned Young Dikembe,
yep.
Which I think there's 2 reasons Ryan crowned him Young Dikembe. One, obviously he has the weight of Africa on his shoulders, as he said, an incredible rim deterrent. And a super likable kid. And then two, Ryan doesn't have to say his name all that often if we just go with Young Dikembe.
Those are both very factual statements.
So if you listen to our last episode, you know that I had several tiers for the 10th pick, and in a tier by himself of please, please, please fall to 10, was Kaman Maluach, and I was on Maluach once he got past the Pelicans at number 7, and could not believe our luck when Colin Murray-Boyles got picked at 9. We had seen some different reports, especially from Gambo, that said they didn't think that Maluach was going to fall to 10, but if he did, they would definitely take him, but you never know. And I know both of us were watching the draft and just begging for them not to screw it up. And I can't believe they didn't. So excited to get this guy.
And yeah, I see what you did there, Mal. You are on Mal. You watch.
Yeah.
Very clever.
Incredible work.
And here's the thing. Like, if we look at the history of the Suns draft, there were times where we were in this exact position and we were like, yes, yes, we're going to get the guy that we really want. And then the Suns blew it. And the fact that they didn't blow it is something to be really excited about.
As you pointed out, we have a bad history of taking Maryland big men who wore jersey number 25.
Oh, man.
And, you know, I could be proven wrong. Obviously, the Pelicans love Derek Queen because they gave up A.J. DeBasanta for him. But I still can't believe they gave up an unprotected first to move up 10 picks and then took my least favorite prospect for where he was at. But ultimately, we got the guy that we wanted. We got the guy who can give right away. I mean, he's young, but he can be a rim deterrent, gives you a ton of length, dunks everything. And he has like a lot of upside for other stuff. Like that shot looks pretty good. He looks balanced and fluid. He's not going to come in and start hitting a bunch of threes right away. I highly doubt that. Who knows? Ryan Dunn did. So I guess it's possible, but I think down the line, the upside here is incredible.
And he's only been playing basketball for a few years. So the trajectory that he's on is pretty spectacular. Not to mention the measurables, but overall, when you listen to his interviews and you see how much this means to him, it's just, you're rooting for him.
Oh, incredibly likable, great, like humble, works hard. It just exactly what you want. I mean, one of the reasons I was not a huge fan of the Durant trade, which looks better and better by the minute, is that I wanted a centerpiece of that trade to get excited about. And I looked at this draft and I thought at 10, we were probably going to be deciding between Colin Murray-Boyles or Carter Bryant or Asa Newell. And I see all of them as kind of like tier three players, like not a huge difference between them and like picking at like 20. And it was just a bummer. But to me, like Maliwatch is a legit exciting prospect. You know, we were obsessed with getting Khalil Ware, and I would have Maliwatch rated higher as a prospect than Ware even. So
Jay Billis, after the first round of the draft, was being interviewed, and he talked about the first time he watched Maliwatch in person. And he was sitting right next to Coach K on the floor, just watching practice. And he turned to Coach K and he asked what he thought of the big man, and the new Duke head coach came over and wanted to hear what Coach K thought. And he said, "I'm worried about his hands." And Jay Billis was like, "I didn't really understand that. His hands, he caught everything, every roll, every dunk. What do you mean?" And he goes, "I'm worried about his hands because he's constantly dunking. He's constantly blocking. The rim is going to hurt his hands."
I mean, is there anyone on last year's Suns team where that would be a concern? I'm going to say no.
No, absolutely not.
That's a good transition because we got two of those guys now, because we also traded for 23-year-old starting center Mark Williams, completing the whole set of Hornets starting centers. And this one's an interesting one because I feel like it's been a popular narrative to say, oh, the Suns just have shooting guards and now the Suns just have centers. Why do you trade for Mark Williams and draft Maliwatch? And I feel like it's people not understanding how good Mark Williams is, and it's people not understanding how little the Suns gave up to get him. You gave up the 29th pick, which, I mean, I have to assume with the 29th pick, we were going to take Rashear Fleming.
Right. Yeah, agree. So,
I mean, really, you gave up second round picks, which you can get. And you gave up a 2029 pick that had several swaps on it. If that thing's higher than number 20, I will eat my shoe. On 2029, I hope nobody plays that back. And anyway, you didn't give much up. I mean, if you go back and you like, do yourself a favor, if you doubt this, go back and look at the draft prospects. Anyone who's drafted from like 21 to 30 every year, the past, like, go to almost any year. You'll have outliers where like five of them are good, but like the number of guys who turn into stars from 21 to 30, very, very minimal. The number of guys who turn into actual NBA players from 21 to 30, pretty minimal. It's, you really did not give up that much. And you got a guy who's 15 and 10, he's 23 years old. He played for the Hornets, which are a mess of an organization. So like the upside for him to get here, and if we do things right, for him to have incredible growth, it's just very exciting. And I get the downside of the situation. I get it. He played 44 games last year. He's been hurt every year of his career. Big guys who get hurt are scary. But what you paid for him, like worst case scenario, let's say he comes in, he's hurt most of this year. We decide that we have to trade him, and we, because he's hurt again, we get less value on a trade after a year. We didn't trade enough to be that upset about it. And the guy's 23, came from Duke, has a relationship with Maliwach. Maliwach, as good as he is not going to be starting center quality if we want to win a bunch of games right away. So why not have your cake and eat it too? Have a giant on the court at all times. This is not shooting guards who are a dime a dozen. Really, really long, athletic, talented, giant centers are so hard to come by that I do not understand people complaining that we got two of them. You want as many of those as you can get.
Absolutely. And the fact that adding on to the narrative is that the Suns made this trade and then drafted Maliwach, and they shouldn't have done both. They should have backed out of one of them or traded down or whatever. And it's like, ask any Laker fan if that's a good idea.
We can't draft Michael Jordan because Clyde Drexler's already here.
Yeah, like you just have to take the talent when it's there. And the fact that we have been so needing size and length, and you look at the future of the Western Conference, this is something that you're just going to need to have.
Yeah. Moving forward. The Blazers and the Wolves in this draft kept adding big guys with high picks, and they already have a ton of centers on both of those teams.
Right. And you know, you're dealing with Wemby, you're dealing with Lively, AD, and Gafford. You're dealing with Jokic. Like,
the Western Conference is huge. This gives the Suns another like real identity. It gives them an advantage. There's just so much to like. Both of the moves separately, I love, and I just don't understand people who are like, oh, well, we have Oso Iguodaro or we have Nick Richards, and it's like, I like Nick Richards. He's like a pretty good backup center, but like a guy who you're never going to be happy as your starter is not a reason to not bring in. Like, listen, Mark Williams and Nick Richards have been on the same team before. I promise you, no one was going, Nick Richards is the guy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, even Shams reported that you know, there's a chance down the line the Suns would look at playing both of them together for small.
Yeah, I mean, I think realistically, you're probably looking 2 to 3 years, but you never know.
Yeah.
It's fun to think about.
And like you said, we didn't give up that much.
Not only did you not give up that much.
It's just a win-win.
Like, think about it this way, okay? And I know that he, quote-unquote, failed the physical. I think most people took that as the Lakers.
With the Laker trade, he failed the physical.
Yeah. Sorry. To be clear, yes. When he was traded with the Lakers. But that was for a future pick swap, an unprotected first-round pick, Cam Reddish and Dalton Connect. I promise you, if you went to the Lakers or went to a Laker fan and said, we're going to give you a really bad first-round pick in 2029 with bad pick swap, with like several pick swaps, and we'll give you the 29th pick in this draft, you give us Dalton Connect, they would be furious.
Right.
The audacity for us to even ask for that. And then you throw in an unprotected first and a pick swap. I mean, we got him at a steal.
Yep, absolutely. Could not agree more.
You don't make that trade and then go down a tier in your draft. Like, to me, like, if you have like two guys close, but to me, like, Maliwatch to, it seemed like we liked Ace and Newell, if you read between the lines. Or let's say it was Carter Bryant. Like, there's a big difference to me in the quality of that prospect. It doesn't mean Carter Bryant won't have a better career than Kaman Maliwatch. I mean, that's always a possibility. But like, if you're just going by like the quality of the prospect, I think it was Maliwatch was the end of a tier, and you do not go to the next tier because you added another guy at that position.
Completely agreed.
All right. We had a really fun Wednesday, and then Thursday was also fun for the crazy diehards like Ryan and myself, because the Suns made so many moves. Let's see if we can get this clear. So the Suns had the 52nd and the 59th pick in the draft. Uh-huh. They traded to get the 36th, and to get the 36th, they gave up two future seconds. So then they had the 36th pick as well as the 52nd and the 59th. They then traded the 52nd and the 59th to get to 41. So then they had 36 and 41. And then they combined two future seconds with 36 to move all the way up to 31. Ultimately meaning they used all those second rounders that they got in the KD trades, and they got their number one guy on the second day. And the 41st pick. With that 31st pick, they took Rashear Fleming out of St. Joseph's, a very big power forward, incredibly long, explosive athlete, phenomenal three-point shooter. If you were going to critique, his three-point shooting was so good last year that you have to worry that, like, did he improve that much or was it an outlier? But it was pretty high volume with great three-point shooting. Just pretty much the exact prototype of what the team needed, which was a big power forward who could also stretch the floor. Seems like a home run pick if he pans out. Obviously, you can't assume anyone being picked at 31 will pan out, but the upside is there. He was productive. There's a lot to like about Fleming.
And Gambo talked about the fact that the Suns had Fleming as a top 20 prospect. And to get him at 31 is just a win. Not to mention, he fits the length. He fits the power forward where we were looking and going,
yeah, like, if you look at the starting lineup right now, like, reasonably, our starting forwards are probably Dylan Brooks and Ryan Dunn. Ryan Dunn, at least as a rookie, played a lot better when he played at the three. I think those two work together, but you want to have an option for someone with more size. And, you know, who knows how, if Fleming will, if we'll luck out and he'll be a contributor right away or not, but it's nice to have a guy like that on the roster.
Right. Exactly. It just gives you flexibility. And the other thing I really want just to give Flowers, because he deserves it. When Gregory started the day at 52 and 59 to make it all the way up to the first pick, which it was universally accepted that he was probably going to be picked with the 31st pick. And if not, the Celtics were right there to pick him at 32. So you had to get to the 31 spot if you wanted him. And the fact that Gregory made those moves to get there, I got to give props where props are due.
It was great. And you see some criticisms of like, oh, the Suns have no draft capital. Now you're giving away multiple future second round picks. What are you doing? Some of those future second round picks are, again, pick swaps, like pretty low second round picks. And then, like, let's be real. If we get out of cap apron jail at any point, we have an owner who's willing to spend, and like second round picks can be bought. Like the Lakers bought their way to some second round picks, moving up the draft and everything like that. Like, they are not that hard to get. What's hard to get are the premium second round picks. And we turn non-premium second round picks into a guy we saw as a top 20 player in the draft. And we moved up to 41. To me, that's great work. That's what you hope your GM is working to accomplish. It's winning on the margins. And, for a team that doesn't have their first round picks under their control for a long time and is has such a high payroll at a time where that is penalized, you have to win in the margins. And look, the guy's not great in a press conference, but who cares? If he's going to move in the draft like this and make trades the way he's doing right now, my apologies. I don't want to get overly I don't want to get too optimistic here, because there's still a lot of moves to be made here, and we'll see how these played out. But I've been quick to criticize, so I think it's only fair that I'm, when I see the vision and I'm impressed by the moves they make, that I'm also quick to compliment.
And aligned.
Oh, you had to. You had to. You had to make
it. I had to.
There was no, I mean, every single person listening had that same joke in their head, and if you hadn't made it, then I might have replaced you on here. I'm kidding. Ryan's the boss. Everyone knows Ryan's the boss. Okay, number 41, moving up from 42 from 52 and 59, we got the 41st pick. There was a report that the three guys that we liked in the second round were Fleming, Tyrese Proctor, and Chaz Lanier. Proctor, the Australian guard from Duke. Lanier, the sharpshooter from Tennessee. We got to pick 41, and Proctor was on the board. So I was pretty sure that's who they were going to take. But instead, we got a surprise in Kobe Brea. And I'd be lying if I said I'd done a ton of work on Kobe Brea prior to him getting picked. But I did know enough about him to know that guy is an incredible shooter. Not just a great three-point shooter, a great three-point shooter catch and shoot, great three-point shooter on the move, put up incredible stats as a three-point shooter. The rest of his game would be described as kind of adequate at best. Like, he's not a great defender. He's not a great passer. He doesn't do a lot other than shoot threes. But he's got a great attitude, has one elite NBA skill, one of the best ones to have. And he's also, depending on what you believe, 6'6 or 6'7. So really, really good size for a guard forward. And sometimes if you're an elite shooter and you're big, that's enough. That's a really good NBA career ahead of you.
Especially with the second round pick. And correct me if I'm wrong about this, but I, as I understand it, not this year, but last year, he led the entire nation in 3-point percentage at over 50%.
You are wrong.
Okay.
It was not over. It was 49.8%.
Okay, 49.8%.
Which is just pathetic.
But and did it with volume threes. It wasn't like he was shooting one over to
six,
two a game.
Over six threes attempted a game at Dayton 2 years ago. Over six
that's
attempts.
That's incredible.
49.8%. And you know, I'll say this. It's hard to imagine a 6'6 guard coming off the bench for Kentucky and having a productive NBA career, but it's probably happened somewhere.
Yeah, he did say in his interview his favorite player was Devin Booker, and now he gets to learn from him.
So all of that, very exciting. The thing a lot of people may have missed, we also signed a two-way contract. CJ Huntley out of Appalachia State. He's another guy who is tall, power forward, long, shoots threes, hustles, lot to like there. I mean, it's a flyer, but it's a flyer at a prototype that would be huge for us. Think of him as maybe Fleming with a little less potential.
Okay.
So
I'm here for it.
Exciting there. So before we get to our game, any big takeaways that you'd like to share from these 2 days of moves?
I think we pretty much covered it. Another thing that I liked about the moves in general is when it comes to the summer league, it's going to give Colin Gillespie, our backup point guard currently, a real chance to come in and play with all of these talented guys and kind of see what we have. And
have
I'm
you heard
really
Gillespie
looking forward
is
to that
playing at summer league? Because I got to be honest, like after what TJ McConnell did in the finals, Gillespie might be a little too advanced. Might be feeling himself a little bit too much to be playing summer league.
I feel rather confident.
All right, we'll see. We'll see. My big takeaway is just the wingspan that we got, the length that the Suns got out of this. Last year, our centers, for most of the season with Plumlee and Iguodaro, both have under 7 foot wingspans. And we added two centers,
which is not good,
who are basically 7'7" wingspans. That's a big difference. That is a very, very big difference.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
So, I mean, you're developing identities. You came into this draft with Booker. You'd just gotten Green, but like exciting young players. It was basically just Dunn and Iguodaro, and you added so many exciting young players, Mark Williams, Jalen Green included, that now like you went from like, the only thing I know is that I like Dunn and Iguodaro. And now it's like, do we need to move Iguodaro? Is there room for Iguodaro? We've made big steps and big moves. And I understand that we have very limited draft capital, but that was already true. And if you're not going to have a lot of draft capital, having a team that's going to be fun to watch, possibly competitive, and can grow and have guys with a bunch of guys with real upside feels so much better than where we were at just 3 days ago.
And especially the second round picks that we traded. I mean, you get those second round picks so you can add first-round talent.
They're pieces,
potentially.
Yeah. They're pieces to move around, and if you can trade several quarters for a dollar, you are winning the game.
Yep, 100%.
All right, ready for another one of our signature cold pickle nacho games?
I am ready.
This one is called Guess Who. The rules are simple. I'm going to name a fact, and Ryan will have to tell me which off-season Suns edition it applies to.
Oh, boy.
Ready to play, Ryan?
Oh, boy. I'm nervous.
I'm going to start with two very easy ones on my list here. Ready? Shot 49.8% on over six threes a game the year before last.
Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant, good job. Name Devin Booker as his favorite player.
Same guy.
You were ruining my game, and I was seething as you were going over those stats, but that's what I get for teaming up with someone who does his homework. All right. Moving on. Led his team in scoring last year. Which recent Suns edition led his team in scoring last year? This is anyone we added in
Fleming?
Anyone we added in the past week.
Rashier. Oh, Jalen Green.
Jalen Green, number one scorer on the number two team in the West last year.
Nice.
Okay. Longest wingspan in the draft at 7'6¾".
I'm gonna say Young Dikembe.
Young Dikembe had the longest wingspan in the entire draft, almost 7'7".
All right.
Longest wingspan of non-centers in the draft at 7'5¼".
That, is, I would say, is our boy, Rashier Fleming.
Yes. That is the fourth longest in the entire draft. Longer wingspan than Rocco Zakarski or Hanson Yang.
And both of those guys are 7'3".
Yeah. So there's a world where if everything goes exactly how we want it, where you have a front court of Malawach with a 7'7 wingspan, Fleming with a 7'5 plus wingspan, and Ryan Dunn with nearly a 7'2 wingspan.
That's length. That is length.
With Mark Williams. Pretty great. Okay. Has the highest standing reach in the NBA.
Oh, gosh. Mark Williams?
Correct. When Victor Wembanyama stands flat-footed and puts his hands in the air, his fingertips reach all the way up to 9'7". Mark Williams, 9'9". He's 3 inches from the rim before he goes on his tippy toes.
Wow.
And people are like, why did we trade a 2029 first? We traded two firsts, but really 2 seconds.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Okay. Is only 18 years old. Some of these are the same person.
Is that Young Dikembe?
Young Dikembe, only 18 years old.
Because and I remember that because when he was playing the U.S. last summer, he was only 17, which is
yeah,
crazy.
And he looked great. He played 12 minutes, scored 7 points, had some highlights. Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Held opponents to 32.7% on shots in the paint when he was on the floor last year.
Dylan Brooks?
Young Dikembe.
Oh.
He was on the floor. Duke's opponents couldn't hit a third of their shots from inside the paint.
That's huge because, you know, some of the knocks that I've heard about him are he only averaged 1.3 blocks per game, but that is That doesn't tell the whole story.
I'm not worried about blocks. I'm worried about how many shots he alters.
Yes.
And what he does as a foundation for your defense. And I am very high on his ability there.
And if you can alter shots and they miss and you get the rebound, that's just as good as a block.
Okay. Averaged 1.5 blocks and 1.4 steals last year.
Mark Williams?
Our boy Fleming.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, 8.5 rebounds, over 15 points per game, almost 40% from three, 1.5 blocks, 1.4 steals, dunking everything. I mean, there's a lot to like in that kid. Okay. 80.6% of his shots last year were at the rim.
Is that young Dikembe?
That is young Dikembe. Yes. Okay. Mark Williams and Maluach both dunk everything. And I am here for it because even Aiden, like how many times were you like, Aiden, just dunk the ball?
Former Sun center, yes. And
are you worried about the people listening to this podcast who are like, who's DeAndre Ayton?
Hey, I would not blame them if they just
blocked it out of their minds.
if they just blocked it out of their minds, that trauma, I would not blame them.
All right. Second most winningest player in his school's history. So for everyone who ever played basketball at this school, more games were won while he was a player than all but one person who was just one less than the all-time winningest player.
Mark Williams?
CJ Huntley.
Oh, wow.
Had to get one of those in there. CJ Huntley, the king of App State, played there for 5 years. He's an older prospect, but again, he's 6'10", 6'11", shoots threes, athletic. If nothing else, he'll be fun for summer league.
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to do three more of these.
Okay.
Third leading scorer for his national team at the last Olympics.
I'm going to guess Maluach.
Dylan Brooks.
Oh!
Representing wow. Team Canada. It was SGA by a lot, and then real close between RJ Barrett and Dylan Brooks.
Okay. You got me there.
Oh. All right. We got two left here. Asked what he brings to the Suns, he was quoted as saying, "If I'm not making shots, which I doubt, you're going to get a lot of effort out of me."
That's our boy Fleming, and I love the confidence. Fleming.
Gotta love the confidence. All right, and final one. Had the second at the NBA Combine, they would do the shuttle run. Mm-hmm. Had the second fastest shuttle run at the entire Combine.
Kobe. Is that Kobe?
Rashear Fleming.
Oh, wow. Okay.
A lot of fun stuff about that kid.
Yeah.
A lot of things to be excited about.
That just keeps getting better.
It's getting better all the time. Okay, so what I want to do at the end here, we're going to have so much to talk about. Just endless things to talk about, but one thing that we haven't done, we're on our seventh episode, and we really haven't broken down the roster, and we spent so much time talking about the new additions. I thought it would be good to kind of go through the guys that are on the team last year, who could be on the team this year, and just kind of give like a quick take on how we think this new roster lines up, whether we want them on the team, how they're going to look on the team, what maybe we could do with them. I don't want to do like a really long deep dive because we'll have time over the summer to do more on that, but that'd be good to just kind of look at everyone currently on the roster, kind of where we're at with them right now. Sound good to you?
Yep, let's do it.
All right, let's start with our boy Devin Booker. We have discussed It looks like he's almost definitely going to sign a two-year, $150 million extension soon. He supposedly had a lot to do with the decisions that we've been making recently. I have it on good authority, and by that, I mean I read Twitter, and it seems legitimate. That I don't have any sources, to be clear. I have it on good authority that they asked him what he wanted, and one of the big things he said in Luka-esque fashion was he wanted a rim-running big. And I'll say this, organization loves Devin Booker because they delivered on that.
They certainly did. And now it's my turn to get to correct you. It's actually $152 million.
Oh,
and okay. He is worth every penny.
Listen, I hear a lot of people make the point. We now have a lot of exciting young players on this team. If you traded Booker, you could get a lot and you can do a real reset. I think Booker's 28 years old. He's still got plenty of time. I think it's good to have a couple guys like that between. It is funny right now. The old guys are Booker. Booker's one of the two old guys. He's 28 and Brooks is 29, but he's not actually an old guy. And ultimately, we are Suns fans over Devin Booker fans, but I'm not sure there's a huge way to distinguish between the two at this point. The man has been really loyal to the Suns. I feel loyalty to him. And it's not one of those situations where, like, he's getting worse or, like, you have to, for basketball reasons, move on. I think having a soul, a heart and soul of the team matters. And ultimately, like, we just got through with all this stuff with the Rockets. The Rockets were the number two team in the West, and they weren't really taken seriously because they didn't have that one guy, that one star to make it happen. And I think people underestimate how hard it would be to find another Devin Booker. Literally the all-time leading scorer in Suns history. Meaning, in the history of the Suns, we haven't found another one of them. Like, this guy's the only one. So it's like, be careful what you wish for, because you trade Devin Booker for a haul, you might not get another Devin Booker for a very long time.
Yeah, but Book is a Sun for life, and we're not trading him, period.
All right. Great transition to another Sun for life, Bradley Beal.
Okay. Could not disagree harder.
Well, no, I mean, it's his choice. I think we've talked a lot about Bradley Beal. There's going to be a lot of talk about Bradley Beal coming up. I think we've spoken ad nauseum about it. If you can get off the contract in a productive way, and I'll end this podcast with kind of an idea at the end, but I'll save that. But I'm not going to really add anything else at this point, just because I'm honestly a little tired of having to talk about Bradley Beal.
Yeah, and with the moves we made in this offseason, I don't see a scenario where the Suns benefit from playing Beal over some of the younger guys that are going to be actually part of our future. So,
speaking of younger guys, part of our future, Ryan Dunn. Nothing would make me happier than seeing Ryan Dunn take a big step up. I hope he is in the gym working on his game. If he comes back and is energized, fits with this team really well, has his shot down, sky's the limit for this kid, and nothing would make me happier.
When we traded KD, it opened up a massive amount of minutes for him. So he's going to get as many minutes as he can handle, and I'm excited to see what he does.
All right, let's put these two together, Nick Richards and Oso Iguodaro. They're both reasonable trade assets, not for something huge, but maybe for something nice. You could argue if Iguodaro didn't change his jump shot in a way I've never – like, if he didn't renovate that jump shot in a way that's almost unprecedented in NBA history, because – right now he might as well be 5'6" when he's out there with his release point for his jump shot. He doesn't really fit at power forward unless you have a center who's a stretch center, and that's not what we invested in. So it's hard to find room for both of these guys on the roster. And so I'm kind of inclined to see which one of them would get us the best return and keep the other. Because Williams is injured a lot, because Young Dikembe is only 18, you want another good big on the roster. You run the risk if you keep both of these guys on there of them not being particularly happy, because NBA players don't like when they are better than the playing time and opportunities that they get. That's something to consider. I like Oso a little bit more. Richards is definitely more of a sure thing. And I think it just comes down to like who you can get. I will say this, like I think people are quick to turn on Oso for obvious reasons with the fit, but I don't think you can fully discount vibes. He's a very smart player, great locker room guy, really bonded with Dunn. For those reasons, I would hesitate to move on from him unless he got us something really good.
Yeah, and you know, also Oso is a local kid, grew up in Arizona, so it's kind of nice to have that flavor. But we're probably going to have to move on from one or both. And
I would not move on from both personally. Sure. Because Williams gets hurt and Molly Watch is so young, I think we would regret moving on from both.
Okay. Fair.
Speaking of moving on from both, Grayson Allen and Royce O'Neal, I could see us moving on from both or one of them. They both have value. I think we learned last year we're not going to be happy if both of them are playing at the same time ever. They're both fairly expensive. So I would probably move on from at least one of them.
Yeah. Royce was at Ott's press conference, for whatever that's worth. He's really trying to fit the culture and be a guy that
I wish he was really trying to play defense the entire second half of last year,
or really trying to, you know, hit an open shot. That would have been nice.
I'm not as upset about that as Royce O'Neal came in with his hair on fire and was everything you want to see hustling on defense. And then by the end of the year, he was quiet quitting. He had checked out, which I get to a degree, but it's frustrating.
Yeah, it's not going to be super sad about trading either or both of them. The moves we were able to make this past week allows us to be able to trade them and not lose, you know, minutes our rotation.
I'm not going to lose sleep over either of those guys going, but they both could contribute in the right situation. I'm going to group this next these next two together as guys that I would like to see the Suns keep, but every indication is they won't, and that's Cody Martin and Bol Bol. I think Bol Bol got a raw deal. I would like to see him back, but it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. Cody Martin's a valuable player, but if you read between the lines, he's going to get shipped out probably for monetary purposes. So I don't think we need to spend a ton of time on those players. I would like that. I don't think are going to happen. Do you disagree on those?
Yeah, Bol Bol is a minimum player, and Cody Martin had a cup of tea here, and you know it's fine.
I think Bol Bol has upside. Let's have a couple South Sudanese guys out there with great length. I thought he was showing real promise and then had the rug pulled out from under him. But I don't think this is going to be where he is. So no point belaboring that point. Gillespie's the last guy that I would say is going to have a big role potentially on this team. I like the kid. I think he could be a legit backup point guard. And there's a lot to like. He's small, but he doesn't play small. As opposed to Tyus Jones, the other guy, I heard that maybe he might come back. That's a guy who's small and plays smaller.
Yeah. We were both high on Gillespie, and we weren't sure how the Suns felt about him, but it sounds like they're very high on him. And the new coaching staff really likes him, and I think that was part of one of the reasons we didn't target a point guard in the draft, is because we're going to see what we have with Gillespie. And as far as Tyus Jones goes, don't let the door hit you on the way out.
All I will say is I do think that he would give our rim running centers a guy who could throw the right passes, and that might have some value. So if you got him at the minimum, and promise not to act like he's our starting point guard no matter what, I could see some value there, but wouldn't be my path. Jalen Bridges, Ty Washington. I think Bridges is worth continuing to develop. Ty, I'd also be good with continuing to develop.
Sure.
And then I like Monty Morris, but if I was Monty Morris, I wouldn't stay with this organization. And I like him as like a 15th man, or not 15th man, but like third string. And then Damian Lee has done nothing the past 2 years. I think you need to cut bait with him. And I never want to see a Plumlee on this team again.
Agreed on all accounts.
All right. So that leaves us with a couple questions. So what do you think the Suns really still need to add for the upcoming season? Like, if you had a couple types of players that you would add, what would you be looking for?
To be honest, I would be looking for maybe a veteran point guard that doesn't need to have a ton of minutes, but is just there if we needed, when we needed. That's really like about.
I see two things that I think we need. I think we need another wing for the rotation with size. Ideally, a Rashear Fleming prototype, but they don't have to have like that level of potential. But some of those skills and some of that size, I'd like to have another guy. Because if I look at the rotation right now for our forwards, you have Brooks and Dunn. Yeah. Brooks and Dunn. You have Fleming, who knows if he's ready. And then if we're not keeping Martin, you're looking at maybe Allen or O'Neal, who are both smaller. Like, I'd like another guy who's like a four or even a tweener 3-4 that you could throw out there into that rotation. I think we need another guy like that. And then I don't necessarily want any point guard, because I like Gillespie, and I think we're probably going with Green and Booker for our starters. But what I'd love is a point guard with real size. And that leads me to a general idea. I want a Lonzo Ball type. And I say a Lonzo Ball type. Lonzo Ball is on the trade market. You worry a little bit about his injury history, obviously. But because of that, he might be a little bit more attainable. Mm-hmm. He makes the same amount as Royce O'Neal. We don't have really tradable picks now. And if I were the Bulls, I would not trade Lonzo Ball for Royce O'Neal. So I was trying to rack my brain of what could possibly work. And I'm going to throw something out here that I could see Bulls fans being like, just no. But maybe there's a chance here. How's this idea for a Beal trade? You work in a third team, or you see if you can get a little under the apron to combine players, and you move Beal to Chicago, and then you add an Oso or Richards or kind of whatever those fringe guys that you you could, you know, in a three-way trade, find a way to make that work cap-wise, but give up, you know, we have a few, not like huge assets, but things that you would want. Like if you're Chicago, you'd want Oso Iguodaro. You'd probably want Richards. And so you find a way to include some of those assets in addition to Beal, get Lonzo Ball back, and then take on that awful Patrick Williams contract. Because he hit, you know, he's making 18 a year, which is far from the problem with Beal, but it is 4 years and he really has not earned that money at all. They just picked Essanga. They probably want to get off Patrick Williams really bad. And they're not a team that is above making some questionable decisions. So maybe there's a world where you could get a Ball, take on a bad contract over time, and get off Beal if we gave enough sweeteners, kind of playing around with the cap. Because what I would love is a guy like Ball coming off the bench, because he's 6'6", and so you get all the benefits of that point guard situation, and you could play a lot of lineups with Ball, Booker, and Green. Like, that's a way to have Booker and Green out there together, not make either of them play point guard. Because if you play Gillespie, Booker, and Green, you're going to have a lot of problems. If you play Tyus Jones with those two, you're going to have a lot of problems. If you play Lonzo Ball with those two, that could work. And so that kind of flexibility with like the 6'6 point guard who brings a lot to the table defensively and size-wise, that's what I would really be trying to add to this team.
Yeah, absolutely. If we can work out, you know, some sort of deal, I would love that. And taking on salary like Patrick Williams, more than willing.
Because, I mean, Beal's deal is a nightmare, but it's over in 2 years.
Right.
Right. You know, I feel like a Lakers fan after the Luka trade. You know, I'm riding the high of several good moves in a row, and I'm willing to believe we can keep the magic going. So that's what I'd want. But yeah, this incredible times. Hopefully, incredible. Hopefully, we come back in our next episode. We are just as excited, and positivity will continue to rule the day. Will it become a trend? Has this just been the eye of the hurricane? We'll find out next time when Cold Pickle Nachos returns with renewed optimism or a bitter reality check. Until then, peace out, homies.
Peace out, homies.